I have to say, by the way, Eve Engler has been really leading writer on this subject. He's very up to speed on all the issues. He has. It was Eve who pointed out on the Taylor Report, but of course in his publications, that Canada, way back, was part of the a cabal of major powers, in France and the United States working together with Canada. They met in Ottawa, if I recall. We'll ask Eve about it. But they met in Ottawa to plan the removal of Aristide, whose name never comes up, by the way. They never discuss Aristide. It's not. It's verboten. You know, he's not to be talked to. I think we have Eve Engler with us. Are you there, Eve?
How's it going, Phil?
Very good, and we're glad to be talking to you. I was just pointing out that you've been on top of this issue of Haiti now for many, many years, so it's kind of hard for them to do a sleight of hand with you, as we're seeing today. I'm reading in the Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, that the Canadian government is going to send arms to Haiti, and they put it this way, to fight gangs. They're going to support the democratic government of Mr. Henri, Ariel Henri. You call him Canada's choice. Isn't that a nasty way to put it? The people are the gangs, right? And we're going to be with the president. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, basically, Henri, of course, was appointed by the core group, which is dominated by the U.S. and Canada, and basically foreign ambassadors in Haiti. And after Jovenel Moïse was killed in the middle of the night 15 months ago, the president, there was a power struggle by different factions within the PHTK ruling regime that Canada's been backing for over a decade now. And they basically chose Ariel Henry to lead the country through a tweet. I say that literally. There was a tweet put out by the core group, and then the power struggle ended with everyone getting behind Henri, which speaks to the power that the U.S. and Canada have in Haiti. And now things have deteriorated over the past 15 months. And in the last month, or the last 2 months, there's been a major protests calling for Henri to go, and those really got there were already demonstrations take place, but then on September 11th he under IMF pressure he got rid of a fuel subsidy, which was a subsidy not just for
he removed the fuel subsidy.
Yeah, he removed the fuel subsidy.
It's like taking somebody off life support.
Well, exactly. So people who are, and it's kerosene too, right? So like people who are cooking fuel as well, for people who are right on the, you know, cusp of, you know, very impoverished. And it was one of the only forms of actual government sort of subsidies. And that just turned what were already fairly significant protests into even bigger protests. And this is not just in Port au Prince. This is all across the country. And they've been... cities have been shut down for days and weeks through blockades, and basically over the past month, the Trudeau government has increasingly led the charge for a foreign intervention into Haiti. And what it would really be is just augmenting what is there still is a UN mission. The UN's been in Haiti now since the 2004 coup, but it's a fairly small UN mission. And the King government has led the charge. You had Bob Rae going down to Haiti, going to the Dominican Republic. Then you had Trudeau hosting a meeting at the UN 3 weeks ago on Haiti.
Bob Rae went?
Yeah, Bob Rae, the Canadian ambassador to the UN. Great,
you
great
know
guy.
You're in trouble when Bob Rae shows up.
Exactly, and so the Canadian government has really taken charge. On Saturday, Canadian military plane alongside an American military plane were photographed in at Port-au-Prince Airport, and all of the Prime Minister, Defense Minister, and Canada's Foreign Minister Jolie, they all tweeted out late on Saturday. They all tweeted out images of the Canadian American plane, and they delivered some sort of light armored vehicles to the Haitian police. And that kind of right wing line is that this is, you know, the police, we need to bolster the police to fight these gangs that are causing trouble. And there's no doubt that there is serious insecurity problems in the country. The big kidnapping, big wave of kidnapping 6 months ago is, you know, there are real serious issues on that front. But what it leaves out, it leaves out a number of things. One of the elements it leaves out, of course, is that after the terrible earthquake, end of 2010, the U.S. and Canada basically imposed Michel Martelly as the president. Michel Martelly was, you know, he had been in the Tonton Macoute of the Duvalier dictatorship.
So he had training, background.
Man with experience. And we imposed him and backed him through his whole reign when all his circle was all kinds of people involved in, you know, convicted murderers and rapists and drug runners and stuff like that. And then when he refused to hold elections, we backed him. And then when he basically imposed Jovenel Moïse as his preferred candidate and rigged elections and got him, we backed that whole process. And so for a decade plus, we've been backing this very regressive element of Haitian society, and they, you know, there's all kinds of documented links between the Moïse regime and the gangs that for political reasons, understanding that they were losing control of neighborhoods and militarizing them and buying off people who lumping people who are very difficult circumstances, so it's, you know, not that difficult to get young men who don't have many options. And so that's one part of it. And the other part of it is that, you know, the idea, as Golden Mail just published this thing, they titled something like the only solution to Haiti is a UN occupation. And it's like
they've already done that.
Exactly.
And while they were at it, they brought cholera, wasn't it?
They brought cholera, and now that's being used as a justification for the UN mission, or for a foreign mission. Is they're saying that cholera has returned to the capital for the first time in a couple of years, and yet, of course, it was the UN troops that brought cholera to the country. And it wasn't just through the UN troops and some abstraction that brought cholera to the country. Oh, a little mistake. It was UN troops that were completely reckless with their sanitation, were dumping their feces into a stream where people were drinking, and that's what introduced cholera. And then even when that happened, they continued, UN bases continued to use the same practices, which was reflective of a complete lack of concern for Haitian life. And that UN mission isn't, again, it's not some sort of like abstraction that came out of, oh, we want to protect Haitians. It comes out of the U.S., France, and Canada overthrowing thousands of elected officials, destabilizing a government, backing a paramilitary assault on that government from the Dominican Republic, and then using that assault to justify, you know, invading the country, overthrowing the elected president and all the other elected officials, and then turning that UN, that foreign invasion, into a UN occupation force, which, you know, represses people while there's a coup government for 2 years. Huge amounts of sexual assault, sexual misconduct, rape that takes place, and then of course the cholera. And so this UN, this great, you know, brilliant idea, the, you know, impressive academic that the Golden Mail is you know, publishing today, it's like, do you not, you know any history? I mean, we're not even talking about history that goes back a little bit. We're talking about, like, you know, a couple years ago. Just go back and, you know, read some paper articles from a few years ago, but you know, the colonial imperial mindset is strong in general, and particularly when it comes to Haiti.
It seems actually to get worse. And instead of saying my goodness and expressing some humiliation, they say, well, yes, we've really messed this up, which is the reason we have to stay 10 more years.
Exactly, it comes down to the fact that it's power. Ideas, you know, flow from power, and the more dominated, the more penetrated, the more weaker places, the bigger the lies can be, right? So the Canadian officials, the lies, I mean, they lie in general They lie about domestic issues. They lie about international issues. But they lie, they bigger, even bigger lies when it comes to a place that has so little ability to sort of respond. And Haiti is so impoverished that the lies can be so outrageous. And yeah, again, the more foreign domination there is, the more it legitimates more, you know, further foreign domination, because the foreign domination beats the weakness in that society. And then that weakness is used by, Harvard School academics to publish columns in the Globe and Mail about how they just need a bit more foreign domination and then all will be good.
Yeah, they figured they'll be employed. This will be jobs for them. We're speaking to Eve Engler. And Eve, I'm getting the impression there is increasing pushback from various quarters to this. And actually, I think there's a petition starting in Canada about this. Am I right that you're connected with a petition?
Yeah, the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute put out an email campaign yesterday calling on people to email the Foreign Minister Joly and all the opposition critics. And we sent it to our list, hundreds and hundreds of people, I think it's probably into 500 people, have already emailed all the different officials saying no to Canadian invasion. Canada should pull out of the core group. This is that group that a foreign ambassador.
By the way, who are the members of the core group?
The U.S., Canada, France, Germany, Spain, Brazil, and the representatives of the EU, OAS, and UN. And basically,
it's
what
pretty,
it is
fairly white. Fairly established colonial forces, people.
They remark on that all the time. You've seen meetings of the core group, it's basically all white officials, which is of course in very stark contrast to the 99% of Haitians who are black. And mm-hmm. It's a pretty flagrantly colonial organization, right? Imagine if there was, there was a group in Ottawa of the ambassadors from the Congo, Guatemala, Indonesia, and Venezuela that met together and put out statements about this or that that the Canadian government should do, and that it wasn't just viewed as a joke, but was actually, turns into policy. 48 hours later, that's what goes on, and it's also, Canadians, the vast majority of Canadians have no idea, have never heard of the core group, whereas the vast majority of Haitians are fully aware of it, and there's all kinds of graffiti denouncing the core group, and I was saying this earlier today that the vast majority of Canadians don't know who the Canadian ambassador is to Haiti. Yet when the Canadian ambassador, Sébastien Carrière, gives an interview to Radio-Canada yesterday about the situation in Haiti, there's stories all over the Haitian press about what Carrière said, because they understand full well that, he's sort of the colonial governors in Haiti. So here we are, in Canada, people have very little idea of him or the core group. But in Haiti, because they understand it shapes their lives so much what he says or does, that of course it's important to follow.
It's the oppressed. You, as has been pointed out a few times, they have better memories than the oppressors do, and actually they're more interested in details. If we were to talk, I love the fact that they're going to turn this into, we got to do something about the gangs. But what you describe, the core group could, particularly in terms of the damage done, could be described as a gang. And boy, it's a gang that has wreaked havoc.
That's for sure. You even get into more kind of like minutia of these kind of things. Like the Canadian government now is framing, we got to bolster the Haitian police to combat these gangs. Well, while that's going on, as the Canadian government, boasted that they could afford to give $42 million to the Haitian police this year, and And you have the Canadian ambassador who's constantly going to police functions and announcing the launch of some police department. Of, you know, Canada paid for this facility or that, and but they never say anything when the Haitian police kill people. So in recent days, they've repeatedly killed unarmed protesters. There's one video about 2 weeks ago. The police are firing, and these reporters yell, "Press, press, press!" Like, you know, don't shoot. And the police officer walks over to the reporter and just shoots him in the stomach. And it's on video. You know, it's there. But then the Canadian ambassador, while going on about how great the Haitian police are and how we got to support the Haitian police, never a word about you know the violence and you know intimidation, repression, and if you want to use the word, you know, the gang behavior of the Haitian police. So they've sort of positioned the situation where they can portray this repressive force that they've been building for 18 years since the coup. And a lot of people remember that after overthrowing the elected government in 2004, what the Canadian government did, and at this point totally in charge of the Haitian police, they incorporated the former military, the rebels, in quotes, that helped overthrow the elected government. The Aristide disbanded the Haitian military that was created by the Americans back during the first occupation. All kinds of human rights abusers. They incorporated hundreds of these individuals into the Haitian police. And the military, former military, led. They were there in all the positions, all the officers within the police. So it was understood the objective was to create a force in the country that's basically your tool to, you know, put people down when there's a challenge to political authority. And of course, security forces around the world, that's, you know, generally what they're for. But this was at a level of sort of politicization, a much greater level of politicization. So when we're talking about, you know, you can maybe have some level of trust in some Canadian official that was talking about supporting the police to challenge gangs. You know, if at minimum they were willing to say, you know, it's not okay for the Haitian police to go and shoot reporters in the stomach when they don't like the reporters, you know, taking photos of them. But they're not willing to do that, which reflects the fact that they don't care about Haitians. They care about control. They care about domination of the country. And the whole gang issue is a pretext for repression of a population that has had enough of mm-hmm. this individual they've imposed.
Mm-hmm. I always have to go back to something. And as a matter of fact, you're the one who, as far as I know, has explained it and identified it and provided the details of the, frankly, conspiracy of states led by the United States, Canada, and I believe it was France, but you tell us, to remove the democratically elected government of Aristide. That was a seminal moment, right?
It was a seminal moment, and many people link the core group today that's its roots are in the Ottawa Initiative on Haiti, which on January 31st and February 1st of 2003 was a get together launched by Denis Paradis, who was then the minister for La Francophonie in the Chrétien government, where they discussed. They had high-level officials from the Bush administration, U.S., minister from the French government, from the Organization of American States, and they discussed Haiti's future. And nobody from the elected Haitian government was invited. It was, of course, a private meeting. 6 weeks later, L'Actualité magazine, which is Quebec's equivalent to Maclean's corporate, you know, news monthly, I guess now, they report on this meeting where they say that they discussed removing Aristide, putting Haiti under tutelage, UN tutelage, and recreating the Haitian military. 13 months later, Aristide's forced out by the U.S., France, and Canada. Haiti, you know, has arguably even right up to today is sort of under UN occupation, but certainly for 13+ years. And the Haitian military has been partially sort of recreated. Now there's been, in recent years, not until years later, there's been a couple of investigations. So Radio-Canada actually in 2020 finally did a look back, and they interviewed Paradis, who almost admitted, quasi-admitted, that they were sort of planned a coup. And there's been a couple of calls in the House of Commons, parliamentary petitions, calling for all the release of all the documents around the Ottawa Initiative on Haiti. A few months ago, maybe it's 4 or 5 months ago, the French ambassador in Haiti at the time admitted to the New York Times that the one of the reasons they would call it a coup, a removal of Aristide, and said one of the reasons for why France participated was because of the Aristide calling for the return of the debt or ransom of independence, where Haitians had to pay French slave owners for lost property, which was the land and themselves.
They lost their slaves, yes.
They lost their slaves. So now I would say that the 2004 coup is, you know, it's been basically even the New York Times has sort of admitted it was a coup, and the Canada and the recent film screening about a documentary series about Canadian foreign policy also has the Canadian Defense Minister at the time basically sort of admitting that Aristide had to go because he was a big man. It was sort of admitting that we kind of helped overthrow Aristide. So it's a pretty important document in the history of Canadian foreign policy. It's a pretty important meeting, should I say, the Ottawa Initiative on Haiti in the history of Canadian foreign policy. It doesn't get very much attention because it is certainly it's been a disaster by any metric since mm-hmm. then. Things are worse in Haiti. It led to not only the ouster of an elected government, but also thousands and thousands of people who were killed in post-coup violence, directly, not even indirectly from, worsening social conditions. And of course, Haiti has been essentially under foreign domination since then. If the Canadian government wants to, frames this as it wants to help Haiti and this kind of stuff, in a sort of theoretical level, that would be possible. But you can't really imagine doing so before you at least admit the mistake or error or the wrong that you did historically. And none of that, of course, has happened. And unless we force the government to do that, none of it will happen. They'll just continue on with the same types of policies.
They can't break the habit. There seems to be no off switch. It's not possible that they could face reality. And of course, their crimes. By the way, you understand, we owe Haiti a lot for all the damage. I'm sure that's in the back. They're like the criminal knows that if he pleads guilty, he might have to pay some damage. So they'll never plead guilty.
And it's even in more narrow things, like there was a whole commitment to the UN after they finally admitted that they introduced cholera to the country. There were commitments made, I forget the exact number, of like providing support, not even actually like proper reparations to those who have family members died, but just to help deal with cholera in the country and help with the sanitation system. And then they just didn't even come close to it. I think it's like a couple percent, $1.5 billion that was sort of committed, and maybe $50 million or $200 million was ever even raised. So even in the most narrow of reparations, they don't even fulfill those, yeah. Let alone for overthrowing elected government and killing thousands of people.
Yeah. Well, Eve, you've been covering it, and we're going to continue to follow. Lastly, you wrote about, of course, what book of yours can to listeners find the account of the Haiti stunt pulled out of Ottawa?
Yeah, well, I have a 2005 book, a short book with Anthony Fenton called Canada and Haiti Waging War on the Poor Majority. But I've covered it in my black book, Canadian Foreign Policy, 2009. I covered it in a number of other places. I'm actually mostly completed a longer historical text on that looks back to Canada's role in Haiti before Saint-Domingue and stuff like that. But on my website, evingler.com, there's many articles about Canada's role in Haiti. Yeah.
Well, you've done a great job. We want to, in about a week or two, we're going to have to find out what happens between Canada and the gangs. So we look forward to talking to you again.
Look forward to it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Eve. Bye-bye. This is Taylor Report, CIUT. That was Eve Engler. And Eve knows his stuff.
Phil, we talked about Hamilton this coming Saturday, the forum at which you and many other people will be speaking. You can register by going to Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. That's one long word. Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War.ca. So register in advance, and they'll be waiting for you.
Thank you very much.